Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Okay, it is time for a full hour of college football, and our first conversation begins with CBS Sports Network college football analyst Brian Jones. Of course, we remember him so well right here in Texas, the former standout linebacker for his Longhorns. And Brian, I tell you what, a lot has transpired over the past several months since we last had a chance to visit with you. You've got Urban Meyer, Mike Leach, Rich Rodriguez, all returning to college football, the big fallout at Penn State, and who knew? Even some conference realignment, TCU headed to the Big 12 Conference. It's always great to have you back. Filling in the blanks, you are truly one of our most dynamic guests that we've ever had on. Bet you never thought you'd hear a sweet Sooner say that, huh, Brian?
No, I'm going to have to record this and ship this to all my Oklahoma friends, which I don't have any of, thank God. But I appreciate that. It's always fun to be on here and talk some football with you. And you mentioned everything that's changed and first and foremost, I think it's TCU, and that's great that they're actually coming home, if you ask me. It's the perfect fit for them to be in the Big 12. This is where they should be. Those old Southwest Conference rivals get to rekindle those, and they're a much better program than they were back in those days when the conference was dissolved. So Gary Pass, as I told you at the beginning of the season, in my mind, one of the most underrated coaches there is in all of college football. And he's done, once again, a fantastic job. They win the conference again. They get the big win up there at Boise. So just kudos to him considering the way they started the season, the loss at Baylor, and then the SMU loss. Since then, they've just really been rolling.
Yeah, Gary Patterson and his staff, they always find a way to maximize the most out of their players and the potential. Just really, as you said, just a remarkable coach and what he has been able to accomplish throughout his time right here in Fort Worth.
Well, you just hit the nail on the head. He's able to identify and position these guys to succeed, and that's what you want from your coach. Put me in a position where I can be successful, and he and his staff, they're the best at it.
We are so glad you're along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Hey, he is a Longhorn. We're talking about Brian Jones. I'm, of course, a Sooner, but we're going to head out to some neutral territory. We got to give some love and attention to Les Miles and his LSU Tigers. Such an impressive season. And you just look at Brian, the body of work, what they have been able to accomplish. And just, you know, they've played and faced a number of quality opponents, but they have just flat out dominated them with their physicality.
You as a Sooner, you were happy to see Les go. Leave Oklahoma State because that's the last time they beat the Sooners, and he beat them twice. He beat them two in a row.
Brian, you got a long memory, my boy.
Yeah, I think he leveraged the hell out of that to get that job at LSU because nobody was beating OU back during those days. And so Les has been phenomenal. Those kids have really bought into his philosophy. He resonates with them. We can talk all day about his quirkiness, idiosyncrasies, but the guy just wins. And what a fabulous season they've had. You mentioned, you know, we talked about suspensions all season long, at the beginning of the season, during the season, and yet they just keep rolling and they're able to overcome whatever adversity that surfaces. So that's a testament to his style, you know, the way he goes about his job. He's always cool, calm, and collected. He doesn't mind taking risks, and I think that's what really endears him to his players, the fact that, you know, you don't just practice those trick plays like a lot of coaches do. He actually gets in those situations and he utilizes them. Can't tell you the number of times I've played for guys who we just go through the motions of practicing the play, but when that circumstance, when that opportunity appears, do they take advantage of it and utilize those plays? A lot of coaches, they will not do that unless it's just the opposite. He really takes risk, and he's been rewarded for that more times than not. So a great season. The ranked teams they play by far more than any other team in the nation. They play three top five teams, so our top 10 teams, and they'll take on anyone. So very physical football team, very smart football team, very athletic football team as well.
I tell you what, Brian, I had some real reservations because I think back to the start of the season, you know, that last week in August, you know, the fallout with the quarterback situation and, you know, their starting quarterback, Jordan Jefferson, he's out, Jarrett Lee, he comes in. Did you really believe that they would be undefeated, have this unblemished record, and be the number one team in the country still at this point?
Well, that's a testament to Les again, the way he managed that situation. Jordan Jefferson, starting quarterback coming into the season, and all the question marks were, is this guy going to get better from a season ago? 7 touchdowns, 9 interceptions in the 2010 campaign. Jared Lee, you know, sitting there at 18 and 18 touchdowns and interceptions. So both guys were far from stellar quarterbacks. And yet Steve Kraftor, dealing with his health issues, he steps down as OC and continues to rally that football team or coach those quarterbacks, I should say.
Right.
And you look at their play this season, it has been exceptional. They're making good decisions, except for that Alabama game and Jared Lee. He resorted back to last year's Jared Lee. But
throwing two interceptions.
I think their staff has handled all the situations pretty well. And the football team, their defense, just exceptional. They've got a ton of depth, and that's allowed that offense to come along slowly.
Well, and I tell you what, too, about the quarterback situation. You better be on your toes because you don't know half the time who's going to start now. Yeah, Jarrett Lee, he started the first 9 games and then was pulled out, you know, after that Alabama and, as I said, those 2 interceptions.
I don't want to say I'm clairvoyant, but I thought Jarrett Lee would have a lot of trouble versus Alabama, and he did. And I thought going into that ball game, the best opportunity or the best case for them winning that ball game, LSU, was Jordan Jefferson making things happen with his feet, extending plays, and that's what he's able and capable of doing. And I think he definitely gives them the best opportunity when you're going up against just stellar competition like an Alabama team.
We remember him well. Of course, we're talking with Brian Jones, CBS Sports Network college football analyst. Does a great job. We're going to pause real quick. Direct all of our listeners where they can go and check out your work online, but also what time you're going to be on the Big Tube.
CBSSports.com. We're on pretty much all week with Inside College Football, which airs initially on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock Central Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Sometimes it changes now that we're in the college basketball season. Tony Barnhart Show, that airs pretty much around the clock as well, so check that out. Tony is a great friend and an excellent reporter on the game. He loves so much college football. And as well as SEC Today, this weekend, Saturday, 1 o'clock pregame show leading up to the big one, the SEC Championship game on CBS, the CBS network proper, but CBS Sports Network will have the SEC Today show, 1 o'clock Eastern, 12 o'clock noon.
Here in just a moment, we are going to take time to preview, as you're talking about, LSU-Georgia, the SEC Championship game, but I want to dissect it a little bit more. Tell us about Les Miles. You said, you know, his quirkiness, his idiosyncrasies. Why has he been so successful? Because I don't know how long has he been there at LSU? I mean, he hit the ground running, and he's been very successful from start to finish so far.
Yeah, 8 seasons now, and the guy is just, well, one, he has talent. As my former colleague and longtime Tennessee coach, Phil Fulmer, would say, you know, it's one thing to have the X's and the O's, but you got to have the Jimmies and the Joes as well. And he's got the Jimmies and the Joes. You look at the secondary. Patrick Peterson leaves early, and he's been phenomenal for the Arizona Cardinals as a cornerback and a return guy. And look, Tyrann Mathieu, you've got Morris Claiborne, you got Brooks back there, Eric Reed. Matter of fact, Brooks didn't even get on the field that much because they have so much talent in front of him, but all those guys make plays. Brandon Taylor's back there as well. So they've got a ton of talent. They got crazy depth on the defensive line. And offensively, they've always got those big boys that can block. And look at that running back state.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all season long, it's been Ware or it's been Hilliard who was put off last week. Or it's Ford who had the big run in overtime versus Alabama. It's been Alfred Blue. They just keep coming out of the woodwork. They're just stacked there. Reuben Randle with the wide receiver position. D'Angelo Peterson, he gives them so much athleticism at tight end. They have the Jimmies and the Joes.
Well, as you said, they're stacked, the crazy depth, just, you know, offensively, so many different options. But you understand this, Brian, from your time at Texas. You can have an unblemished record, but you cannot look back or take anything for granted. You'll turn into a pillar of salt, won't you?
That's right. You can't take anyone for granted. You've got to respect your opponent. I hate to bring it up, but I love to bring it up. Your Sooners versus Texas Tech.
Oh.
There was a delay in that ball game.
Gosh,
I understand they didn't have their best cover guy, Jamel Fleming, but they still should have had more than enough to beat Texas Tech. And yet, you go out there and you get off to a slow start, you get behind, you fight back, and you just come up short. But you've got to be mindful. You've got 12 opportunities. You've got to take advantage of all of them. And don't take anyone for granted. And when you're dealing with 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, that's hard to impart upon them that you have – to be focused each and every week.
You know, a lot of folks talked about when you go back to that OU game, Texas Tech, yeah, the bad weather played a factor into that. But Coach Stoops talked about in his weekly media press conference that they had just been a little soft. He didn't use that term soft, but during practice, they just, and I've never understood that. You know, you only have so many games in a college football season. How can you exhale at any point until it's all said and done?
Well, you look at the opponent on the schedule, and you play so many big games, and that's why when you go back to LSU and what they've been able to do, stay focused no matter what's occurred off the field.
Yes.
You sometimes take a team lightly. I've been on teams where we've gotten that. You're sitting there undefeated, and you don't put as much emphasis or focus into practice as from a player standpoint as you would do for, say, another ball game that's big, one that you have circled on the calendar, and you can jump up and be bitten, and that's what happened. But the great teams, what they're able to do, they're able to overcome those bad starts. Because let's be honest, you're not going to always bring your A game. You're not going to always bring your B game. But if you're one of the elite programs, you have to find a way to win. And that's what LSU has been able to do in their ball games as far as the dealing with the adversity. You know, you get down 14-0 to Arkansas a week ago, they don't flinch. They just keep doing what they do, and they believe in themselves, and they have their confidence. But unfortunately, like in Oklahoma, teams I've been on in the past, sometimes you don't apply as much attention and focus to details during those weeks against teams you think you should defeat handily.
Brian, you're exactly right. LSU right now 12-0, first time in school history. Let's talk hypotheticals. Should they lose this weekend against Georgia, do you think the Tigers still belong in that national championship game?
I believe they will, and I think it's going to be a much closer game, but I think LSU ultimately gets the victory. It says something about our system. We're sitting here, we're talking about LSU, number one team in the nation, beat the number one team, two team in the nation in their backyard, and yet the number two team in the nation doesn't win its division, is not fighting, playing for the conference championship, and yet they're a lock.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Title game. How crazy is that? That makes no sense. That's an indictment of this system we're in now. But I, barring a blowout, I think LSU it should be a lock to be in that game as well.
Okay, I want to talk about, we got to be fair here, let's talk about Georgia, because they certainly do, as you're talking about, have an unbelievable challenge this weekend. But what is remarkable about their season, they started off so slow. I mean, never schedule a non-conference opponent like a Boise State to kick things off. Then you got South Carolina, they're 0-2, and then they reel off 10 straight wins. So as you're saying, as I hear you saying, you certainly can't take those Bulldogs for granted.
That defense, and you mentioned the 10 straight wins, that's a difficult feat as well. You know, everyone poo-pooing you, that Mark Richt is on the hot seat. You're starting out 0-2. George is horrible.
Can you imagine the pressure under him at that time? Wow.
Exactly. And he kept the faith, and that team did, and it got locked in, and they just started playing some great football. Isaiah Crowell, the true freshman, he stepped up and started making plays and solidified that running back position. Malcolm Mitchell, another true freshman wide receiver, led him in reception. Chris Conley, a true freshman wide receiver. You know, these guys couldn't replace A.J. Green, but they've really stepped up to the plate and brought some production to those positions. And defensively, Ty Grant's guys on that side of the ball have been just crazy good. Going into last week's game versus Georgia Tech, their defense was allowing less rushing yardage than LSU's defense. And we know how magnificent they've been all season. So that defense has stepped it up a notch, and I think they keep them in the game. Games like this are always, every game is all about mismatch. And I think the big mismatch, LSU is great as their own defense. I'm not enamored with their linebackers from an assignment and an alignment standpoint. I've seen them miss too many assignments, and I've seen them their alignment be off, which was detriment to their ability to take care of their assignment as far as coverage in the flat on a Trent Richardson and the other back. So I just see Orson Charles, they're all everything tight end there, Georgia, being able to exploit their linebackers, if that's who they put on him and not one of those safeties, Reed or Brooks or Taylor. I just see Charles being able to exploit that. Now, here's the caveat, though. If those big boys up for Georgia can't protect Aaron Murray, because that was Montgomery and Mingo, those big defensive ends, they put a ton of pressure on quarterback. If they can't protect him, and you have to have max protection, you can keep Charles
yeah.
and our running back,
yeah.
how can you exploit that void? I just So that's going to be the big issue. Can they protect the quarterback?
Well, the Georgia Bulldogs playing for their first SEC title game since 2005. And as you're talking about, it's going to be so fun to see how it all plays out. I have to share, Longhorn fans love, I mean, we got tremendous feedback from when you were on the program last time. They love hearing from you, Brian. And so I'm not going to take time to recount OU Texas 55-17 win. Well, I only bring that up because you talked about OU losing to Texas Tech, but we'll move on.
Did I mention Baylor?
Okay. Oh, my. Ouch. Okay, so let's talk about, though, on a positive here. How about that last-minute two-point win on Thanksgiving against Texas A&M? What kind of way you want to send them out to the SEC conference? My goodness. In College Station.
That was wonderful. I couldn't have asked for a better defeat or a better scenario in a game versus those guys. I take that over a beat down where you just clobber them. You know, they're sitting there and they think they've got a victory at hand, and you just snatch it from them. You snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. It was wonderful to watch. I was going nuts, ballistic. Folks thought I'd been invaded by an exorcist or something. that was great. Now they can go do whatever they want and whine and cry in the SEC. Good riddance to them. But Texas, the season's gone a lot like I thought it would. Actually, I thought this is a season we would have had a year ago. But unfortunately, it was a lot worse. But the defense has been great. I love watching those guys play. 10 out of the last opponents, they've held below their rushing averages. They just completely held Colin Klein and K-State in check. Unfortunately, couldn't complete a pass. And that's the big issue, is the running game, which has been great until the injuries hit, but the quarterback play. Those guys have to find a way to grow up and grow up fast and complete a pass.
Okay, so how do you think they're going to do being in Waco, Texas this weekend? It's all about defense, in my opinion.
Yeah, you got to stop RG3.
He's been
outstanding, and he should get that invitation to the Heisman deal up in New York, because he definitely deserves it. And if he plays the whole game a week ago versus Texas Tech, he would probably be the front runner going into the Heisman race this week. But, of course, he suffered the concussion and it still scored a touchdown after that. He's just a phenomenal athlete, a phenomenal person from all accounts, very bright, smart, and athletic. So you got to stop him. Kendall Wright as well, stop him. And then Gannaway, Terrence Gannaway, the Houston transfer, had over 200 yards rushing. Who has it versus Texas Tech? So with this Texas defense, the way they played all season, tops in the Big 12, they're going to have their work cut out for it. For them, but I think they're up to the task.
Is Robert Griffin III, is he 100%? I mean, I'm not sure. Have you ever had a concussion? I mean, what's it like that week after?
I had too many to count, and back then we would just say, oh, you got dinged a little bit, get back in there. And I'm glad now they are taking more precautions when a guy does get knocked around a little bit in the head. So it's hard for me to tell, but from all accounts and what I've heard this week, he's probable for the game. That means he's going to play. He wanted to go back in that game the other night, and they held him out, of course. So I think you will see RG3 on the field.
We're getting ready to wrap up our radio interview with number 60, Brian Jones, CBS Sports Network college football analyst, and, of course, the standout linebacker for the University of Texas. And we have heard so much about wide receiver Jackson Shipley back in the lineup after missing three games with his injury. But kind of Jordan versus Jackson, who's the better first-year player? You played with... Kind of gives the inside scoop. Now, you played with what?
I played against his uncle.
Played against? Okay, that's right.
Yeah, his uncle played at TCU, and Steve Shipley, and he was a heck of a wide receiver.
That was back in the day, right, Brian?
Yeah, that was way back in the day, exactly. Yeah, thanks for reminding me. But I'm going to say Jackson, because if I remember correctly, Jordan was injured his first couple of years. So I'm going to say... You know, if you go with the when he really got extensive playing time, Jordan, I mean, he had an incredible year and years after he got those knees straight. But Jackson's been a pleasant surprise, and his uncle told me Jackson was going to be better than Jordan, and I think we may see that if we can keep him healthy.
Well, it's a neat family, obviously very, very talented. Final question, OU, OSU, who thought I'd ask a Longhorn? What do you think the outcome is going to be in that particular game in Stillwater?
Well, as an old dude told me once, the view doesn't change much unless you're the lead dog. And Oklahoma's been the lead dog.
Yeah.
And you know what Okie State's been looking at, and that's that behind of Oklahoma. I looked at the numbers in this rivalry. Wow, 81-17 and 7 OU versus Okie State. Good Lord.
My.
Yeah, you're talking about having a team's number, and it's your rival. I think Okie State, now the weather's supposed to be pretty bad, 20, 25 degrees, freezing rain. That slows down both of these offenses, if you ask me. It's going to come down to the running game and not, of course, turnovers, which really got Okie State last time out. And, of course, they were dealing with that tragedy. So they've had a couple weeks to deal with that. They'll be more focused, and they know what's on the line here. So I'm going to go with Okie State. They've lost eight straight. Time for them to get off the snide.
Well, I tell you, it's been a disappointing season for us Sooner fans. I mean, who thought in the preseason, the number one team in the country, such high expectations, did you think that they would free fall so much?
I didn't think they would free fall as much. And they lost two games, and we're sitting here acting like there's a horrible season, which it is when you're Oklahoma or when you're a Texas.
They were the preseason number one team in the country, Brian.
Yeah, your preseason.
Lost to Texas Tech and Baylor.
Well, you know, Baylor's 20-0, Oklahoma was versus Baylor. All things good and bad must come to pass. Texas Tech didn't see that one, so I'll give you that. But, yeah, it's disappointing because they thought they'd be in that BCS title picture, and of course they're not right now as we stand. But still a fine season, but the injuries really got them. And you know, that began with at the beginning of the season.
You lose Ryan Broyles, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, Frank Ward, Landry Jones hadn't thrown a touchdown pass since he went out. And, you know, he hasn't fared well. Three interceptions last week, and one wasn't really his fault. But Whaley losing him, I thought, was huge. But I tell you who really impresses me, Jamel Fleming and also Tom Ward.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
New Braunfels, Texas. How did he get out of here, man? He's right down the road from Austin.
Well, I guess we just need to send you all a thank you card because we got lots of players from the state of Texas, don't we?
Exactly. Checks in the mail, right?
There you go. There you go. All right, Bebo Brian, we appreciate you coming on. Have a great show and always doing a fantastic job. We look forward to catching up with you real soon. Hey, real quick, who's your winner for the Heisman next week?
Oh, wow.
Come on.
If RG3 goes off, I hope he doesn't. I'm going to say it's going to be Trent Richardson.
Okay. All right. There you have it. Thank you, Brian. We'll talk to you real soon.
All right. Take care. Anytime.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.